Married at First Sight. Chapter 4397. The old doctor was momentarily stunned. He reached out to touch the boy's head and gently asked, "Why do you ask that? I've never seen my real parents. I don't even know what they look like. If they were alive, why didn't they come to find me? How could they have left me on the side of the road to be picked up by Mother Jane?" The little boy was clever. He knew how to reason things out. Sonny's parents are divorced, but he still gets to see his father. He lives with his mother. Even though she works far away, she still comes home to see him. But I don't have that. I thought maybe they didn't come to find me because they turned into stars, watching me from the sky. The old doctor pulled him into a hug, sighed, and said, "Titus, you have us. Your mother Jane and Uncle Tim love you dearly and treat you like their own child. The Johnson family also considers you their nephew. Even though your biological parents are gone, you are surrounded by people who love you. That's something to be happy about, so grow up with joy in your heart." Titus nestled into his master's arms. So, it was true, his biological parents had died. For as long as he could remember, Titus had been Jane's adopted son. Raised with care by Jane and accepted by the Johnson family, he never pitied himself or thought much about his birth parents. He had been too young, just a toddler, so they hadn't crossed his mind. Now, at over 5 years old, he could understand more. He felt different from his friends. After thinking it over, he concluded that his birth parents must no longer be alive. Though he had no memories of them, hearing the truth brought a trace of sadness but no tears. "Master, do you know how my biological parents died?" The old doctor lied and said, "You were chosen by your master and taken in as his disciple. That's how he met you. He doesn't know anything about your past. Not even your mother Jane knows. Much less him." Titus asked, "Does Uncle Tim know?" "Everyone says Uncle Tim is amazing. If he wants to know something, nothing can be hidden from him." The old doctor continued with the lie, "No one has tried to find out about your parents, so how could anyone know? Besides, we don't even know where you're originally from. Although your mother Jane found you in Wiltspoon, you're not a native of Wiltspoon. She asked around and confirmed that you aren't from there. Still, I'm certain you came from a well-off family. You were clearly born to be a young master." The old doctor released the little boy from his arms, gently pushed him back a bit, looked down at the intelligent child, and said kindly, "Titus, all you need to do is study hard, learn medicine from your master, and train in martial arts with your brothers, sisters, uncles, and aunts. Learn everything they teach you. When you grow up and become truly strong, you can search for your past and uncover the truth about your biological parents." Titus asked with innocent curiosity, "If I become powerful, can I see my parents again? Can they come down from the sky and return to me? I really want to know what they look like." No matter how kind Mother Jane was to him, no matter how much love she gave, she wasn't his biological mother. As long as he hadn't been abandoned, he wanted to know who his real parents were. The old doctor replied, "They're watching you from heaven. The stronger you become, the happier and more at peace they'll feel." Titus didn't quite understand, but he didn't ask further. He sensed the topic was a bit heavy, especially since his master wasn't acting as cheerful as usual. Instead, he was unusually gentle and calm. That made Titus feel that something was different. It was clear this topic weighed on his master. Because he cared, he had put aside his usual smiling demeanor and softened his tone. "Master, I'll study hard and train diligently. I'll learn medicine from you and one day be able to heal the sick and save lives just like you. Our Titus is such a good boy. Tonight, I'll reward you with a chicken leg." "Okay. Let's go kill a chicken now. There are two legs, we'll each have one. I'll eat one, and Master can have the other." Married at First Sight Chapter 4398. When it came to food, Titus's eyes lit up. He immediately ran to the backyard. The chickens raised by his master were kept in the backyard and allowed to roam freely. His master always said that free-range chickens were the most delicious. Watching the little guy's back, the old doctor muttered, "This little foodie, the moment chicken is mentioned, he forgets all about asking about his parents." He stood up and followed after him. "Master is old and has lost all his teeth. I don't eat chicken legs anymore, so I'll let you have both." Titus turned his head and said, "Doesn't Master still have a full set of teeth? Chicken legs are full of meat and taste great. You always said they're the best part of the chicken. How can you not eat them when you still have all your teeth?" He didn't mind at all. He only planned to eat one chicken leg and give the other to his master. The old doctor replied, "My mouth is full of dentures. Well, Master Cardenas can still eat chicken legs. But if he won't, I'll call him and tell him an old lady keeps visiting you and says she wants to live with you in your old age." The old doctor scowled. "You little rascal. If you dare call your master and say that, I'll punish you." There really was an old lady who came by every few days, insisting she wanted to move in and grow old with him. But he was already old himself and he had no interest in sharing his life with a partner now. He had apprentices, a group of old friends, and many nephews, all of whom were very filial. One of his apprentices, whom he treated like a daughter, had given him a little grandson. That grandson now stayed by his side day and night. He was not lonely and had no need to live with anyone. In his youth, he never married. Even in middle age, he never considered it. After taking in an apprentice, he dedicated himself to raising her and never thought about finding a mother for the child. Now that he was retired, it was finally time to enjoy life. Why would he trouble himself with finding a companion? Who knew what hidden motives someone might have? He was certain there was more to it, and in any case, he didn't want to live with anyone. He had already changed the formation at the entrance of Medicine Valley. From now on, the old lady who wanted to marry him and spend her old age with him would no longer be able to enter. But this matter had to be kept from his disciple. That child had always wanted to find him a master's wife. Titus stuck out his tongue playfully. "So Master, she gets scared sometimes too." The old doctor gave him a light knock and said, "You little rascal, now you're even learning to threaten your master. My master wouldn't let me show respect by giving you both chicken legs, so I told him. I was afraid he'd think I wasn't taking good care of you and wanted an old lady to accompany you. It's perfect, I'll just tell him everything." "All right, all right. Two chicken legs. One for you, one for me. That settles it. Go catch a chicken, don't pick one that's too big. We're roasting it in the kiln, so a smaller one is better. Just a grandfather and his grandson, too large a chicken would be too much." Titus happily agreed and ran off to catch one. Married at First Sight, Chapter 4399. After a bit of chaos, Titus managed to catch a hen and walked over with it in his arms. "Master, is this one okay?" The old doctor took the chicken from him, weighed it in his hands, and said, "This is perfect. Let's go get it ready." Titus happily followed his master, running back to the kitchen to boil water. While Titus and his master were preparing to kill and roast the chicken, on the other side, Sonny went out with his phone to look for his parents. He found them sitting under a tree in the yard, deep in conversation. He saw Uncle Duncan gently reach out and touch his mother's face, then his mother leaned against Uncle Duncan's shoulder. A moment later, Uncle Duncan moved in and started nibbling on his mother's lips. Why was Uncle Duncan biting her mouth? Did it smell good? Was it something you could eat? "Uncle Duncan!" Sonny suddenly shouted and rushed over. His loud voice startled Duncan and Liberty, who immediately pulled apart. Liberty's face flushed red, and she looked clearly flustered. In a moment of affectionate intimacy, the couple had forgotten themselves and did something not quite suitable for children, only to be caught by their son. Liberty glared at Duncan in embarrassment. Sonny ran up and asked, "Uncle Duncan, why were you biting my mom's mouth?" Duncan. No matter how thick-skinned he was, he had no idea how to respond to such an innocent but awkward question from his stepson. Sonny. Liberty quickly pulled her son aside and took the phone from him. "Did you finish talking to Titus? You two haven't chatted in a while, why not talk a bit longer?" She changed the subject to defuse the tension and avoid having to explain anything. Sonny replied, "We talked for a long time, the phone even got hot. Oh, and Mom, Titus said he wants more sisters. He said one isn't enough and he wants several. My aunt said his sister doesn't even know which park she's swinging in. By the way, Mom, Titus said he wants a few sisters. He said one isn't enough, he wants more. My aunt said his sister doesn't even know which park she's swinging in. Titus asked me to ask Auntie which park my little sister is on the swing at. Let's go and bring her back. We should bring back as many little sisters as possible. As long as they're as cute and well-behaved as my little sister Yan Yan, I'll take 10 or 8 of them. No matter how many there are, I'll never be tired of them. I also have money. I can buy milk powder, toys, and lots of pretty dresses for my sisters." The little guy already understood that raising kids costs money. Liberty burst into laughter. Duncan couldn't help but laugh too. Their laughter made Sonny forget to ask why his stepfather had bitten his mother's mouth. Confused by their reaction, he looked up at his parents, who were still laughing. Watching them laugh, he began grinning foolishly too, making Liberty laugh even harder. Holding her belly, she said through her laughter, "Sonny, are you trying to make your mom laugh to death?" She pulled her son into her arms, trying to suppress her amusement. "Your aunt was just joking. Those were things only adults would say. You don't need to take them seriously. There's no sister waiting to be brought home from the park. Sisters are born like your little cousin, who was born from your aunt's tummy." Sonny said stubbornly, "But Auntie said my sister was swinging on a swing in the park. She also said there's a sister sitting on the clouds looking for her mom. If she wants to find her mom, we should go get her and let her call Mom Mom." Liberty didn't know how to explain this to her earnest little boy. Auntie wouldn't lie to Sonny. Auntie isn't a big liar. Sonny couldn't accept that his favorite aunt had just been coaxing him. He didn't want to believe that his sister wasn't picked up from a swing in the park. His mom said she was born. But how were babies born? When would his aunt or mom give birth to his little sister? "Your aunt, forget it. When you grow up, you'll understand what she meant. Right now, Mommy doesn't know how to explain it to you, and even if I tried, I don't think I could make it clear." Sonny pouted. "Mom, you're bullying me again just because I'm little. I'm not a 3-year-old anymore. Married at first sight." Chapter 4400. Duncan smiled and continued, "That's right, our Sonny isn't a 3-year-old anymore, he's already 5. Sonny. Well, he was still just a kid. Did Titus say when he's coming home? When he does, you two can play together again," Liberty said, quickly changing the subject to avoid more awkward questions from her curious son. She truly didn't know how to explain things properly. "Titus said he can only come back during summer vacation. He's living with his master now, and his master makes him copy medical books every day. His hands even hurt from all the writing." Sonny remembered how he tried helping copy medical books last year at Feng Chen Villa, but he got tired very quickly. His handwriting was also messy, and he didn't recognize many of the characters. Titus's handwriting, on the other hand, was neat, and he knew far more words. His aunt once comforted him, saying that Titus's handwriting only became good because his master punished him by making him practice every day. Since Sonny rarely practiced, it was normal for his handwriting to be a little rough. His aunt even claimed her own handwriting wasn't pretty. Sonny believed her until he got home and saw her writing calligraphy. It was beautiful, even better than Titus's. That's when he realized his aunt had just been trying to make him feel better. I also told Titus I might transfer to Jensburg, and I asked him to come visit me there during the holidays. Sonny looked up at his mother and said seriously, "Mom, I've decided. I want to live in Jensburg with you and go to school there." Titus had told him he really wanted to live with his parents, but he couldn't. He had to stay with his master to study medicine. He could only go home during holidays. Sonny felt lucky. He could see his parents whenever he wanted. He had two fathers. His mother said Uncle Duncan was also his father, and that his stepfather was just as much a father to him. Uncle Duncan treated him very well, and Sonny liked Uncle Duncan even more than his biological father. Liberty was a little surprised. She suspected she might have said something to Titus that influenced Sonny and made him change his mind about transferring to Jensburg. She lifted her son onto her lap, held him gently, and said softly, "Sonny, although we're going to settle in Jensburg, I'll bring you back to visit whenever I can. Your aunt and the others will also visit us when they have time. And even if I'm not available, Uncle Duncan can bring you back to Wildspoon." Sonny nodded. He suddenly wrapped his arms around his mother's neck and whispered, "Mom, I love you." Liberty hugged him tightly and smiled. "Mom loves you too. Well then, when we go back to Jensburg tomorrow, I'll find out which kindergartens are good and help you register. You'll start kindergarten there in September." Sonny nodded. Home was wherever his mother was. He decided to follow her. His aunt had a new baby boy and needed to take care of him, so she didn't have much time for Sonny anymore. His mother also said that raising him was her responsibility, not his aunt's. He couldn't rely on his aunt forever. Liberty lowered her head and gave him a kiss on the cheek. Sonny kissed her back. Duncan watched the mother and son with a gentle gaze. The little family of three lived together in warmth and happiness. Married at First Sight, Chapter 4401. "Mom, can we go to Aunt's house to see my little brother? Didn't we just visit this morning?" Sonny said, "That's why I want to go again. My little brother is so cute right now." "All right, let's go to your aunt's house. If you want, you can stay overnight. But you have kindergarten tomorrow. It takes a while to get back to the city from the villa, and you'll need to wake up very early to avoid being late. So it's better not to stay overnight. Let's head back early." Sonny pouted and said, "I wish summer vacation would start already." Liberty rubbed his head and replied, "It's still a little early, but summer break will come soon after Children's Day. Mom, we're going to perform on Children's Day. Will you come watch me?" Without hesitation, Liberty said, "Of course. I'll definitely come back to watch your performance." No matter how busy she was with work, she always tried to be there for anything related to her child, never wanting to let him down. Sonny smiled, content. The family of three went to Wildridge Manor Villa to visit Serenity and her baby boy. When she saw them arrive, Serenity said, "I thought you had already left for Jensburg." Her sister had mentioned that after recovering at home post-delivery, she would return to Jensburg for work and come back when the baby turned a month old. "I was supposed to go today, but I've decided to leave tomorrow." She planned to wait until Sonny left for kindergarten so he wouldn't feel too sad. Sonny quietly went to see his sleeping little brother. While the adults were distracted, he gently reached out and poked his brother's cheek carefully and softly, afraid that using too much strength might hurt him. While the adults weren't paying attention, Sonny reached out and gently poked his little brother's face, using only the lightest touch. He was afraid that pressing too hard might hurt him. Sure enough, the little guy kept sleeping soundly. Liberty and her sister chatted about Sonny's earlier question asking which park she had been swinging in, which made Serenity laugh. After a while, Sonny grew bored of watching his always sleeping little brother and decided to head to the foot of the villa to play with his friends. He said goodbye to his mother and aunt, then ran off happily. The family of three stayed at Wildridge Manor Villa until nightfall and returned to the city after dinner. The rest of the evening passed in silence. The next morning, Liberty personally dropped her son off at kindergarten. Afterward, she headed to the airport and flew to Jensburg. Duncan remained in Wildspoon for the time being. When he returned, he still had matters to handle at his company. He planned to fly to Jensburg again in a couple of days. After Serenity was discharged from the hospital, the young masters of the York family gradually departed as well. Each had their own careers and life goals, especially Evan York, who was still unmarried. When he arrived in Hyribity, it was already past 4 PM. Instead of going home, he headed straight to the Dew Group and waited at the company gate for Abby Dew to finish work. He even brought her a bouquet of flowers and a set of jewelry. In the past, Abby Dew only accepted flower bouquets and often refused other valuable gifts like jewelry. Abby Dew quickly realized that Evan York had come. For the first time, she left work early. Evan York had expected to wait until around 6 o'clock to see her. So when he saw her walking out earlier than expected, he was momentarily stunned, thinking he might be imagining it. She was supposed to be going home for a few days, and although he had called and texted, she rarely replied. But now, knowing he was waiting at the gate, had she rushed out just to see him? Married at First Sight, Chapter 4402. Maybe, I just miss her. Thinking that Abby Dew might be missing him too, Evan York's mood instantly lifted. All the exhaustion from his flight vanished. Smiling, he walked forward holding a bouquet of flowers. Abby. Abby Dew stepped out of the company building and stopped in front of him. Evan York gazed at her with tenderness in his eyes. He wanted to hug her, but didn't dare act impulsively. After all, she hadn't agreed to be his girlfriend, yet she hadn't even admitted to being the changeling fox. But ever since hearing the truth from his grandmother, Evan York no longer fixated on whether she was really the mysterious fox. He was certain now she had to be the one he liked. His grandmother wouldn't lie, and the hints from his brother and sister-in-law had been clear. He had just been too slow to put the pieces together. His grandmother was a wise and capable woman. If she had chosen Abby Dew, she must have known all her aliases. So he simply needed to trust his grandmother. According to his brothers, while their grandmother could be mischievous and loved teasing her grandchildren, she never took marriage matters lightly. When choosing potential partners for her grandsons, she would thoroughly investigate, from gathering information through various channels to personally meeting the woman and assessing her character. Only after ensuring the person was truly good would she allow her grandsons to pursue them. In fact, the reason his sister-in-law ended up saving his grandmother was due to his grandmother's scheme. She had deliberately fallen, waiting for Serenity to help her and take her to the hospital. In today's society, many people are hesitant to help an elderly person who falls, even those from wealthy families, for fear of being scammed. Serenity had thought of this at the time. She asked bystanders to take a video and made note of the nearby surveillance cameras before she dared to help the old woman and send her to the hospital. Everyone is cautious these days, and Serenity was no exception. Coming from an ordinary background, she feared being falsely accused and losing everything if she couldn't prove her innocence. Fortunately, the old lady had no intention of exploiting anyone. She simply took a liking to Serenity and wanted to find a way to connect with her. And sure enough, just a few months later, Serenity and Zachary got married. Sure enough, just a few months later, Serenity and Zachary had a flash wedding. To this day, Serenity still didn't know that the old lady had deliberately fallen, waiting for her to step in and help. The old lady saw her as a savior and repaid her kindness, generously bringing her the happiness she enjoyed today. Abby, these flowers are for you. Evan York offered the bouquet in his hands to Abby Dew. And this jewelry set, I think it would look great on you. Please accept it. It's just a small gift from me. He then held out the jewelry box. Abidu looked at him silently for a moment before taking the bouquet. After a quick glance, she took the red gift bag and said, "I already have plenty of jewelry. You don't need to buy me more. What you have is yours, what I give is mine." Evan York was thrilled she accepted the gift. To him, it felt like a small but meaningful breakthrough. It also seemed that after just a few days apart, her attitude toward him had softened. Maybe being away made her realize how much she missed him, that she might already love him and couldn't bear to be without him. No, Abidu had fallen for him last year. But he had failed her, forcing her to let go. Now, he was determined to win her back, to make her fall in love with him again and give him another chance. "Why are you smiling like that? Did you strike gold while you were away?" Seeing him grin so foolishly, Abidu couldn't help but tease. Evan York chuckled. "I just love seeing you smile, Abby. I missed you so much. A day without you feels like 3 years." Married at First Sight, Chapter 4403. Abidu gave him a sharp look. "I haven't seen you in a few days, and you're still the same smooth talking. I can't tell what's genuine and what's just empty flattery. I don't dare believe you, Evan York. I prefer mature, steady men, not ones who talk nonsense and make promises they don't keep." Evan York quickly responded with a serious expression, "Abby, I am mature and steady. I'm not just being glib, I'm speaking from the heart." Wasn't he mature enough? Evan York honestly believed he was. In his mother's teasing words, he was nearly 30 rounding up, that made him middle-aged. "In a few years, I'll qualify as middle-aged," he thought with a wry smile. "All right, I'm just teasing. You're so tense." Abidu couldn't help but laugh again. "When did you get here?" Seeing how nervous he looked only made her more amused. He clearly cared how she saw him. The fact that her words could unsettle him showed just how much he loved her. She no longer appeared before him in disguise as the fox. She wanted him to understand that the woman he loved was Abidu, not some fantasy version of her. She wanted him to love the real Abidu. "I just arrived," he said. "Got off the plane and took a taxi straight here. I haven't even gone home yet." Abidu looked him up and down. "You don't look tired at all, Evan York. You came straight here after your flight and waited outside the office just to give me flowers and jewelry. Nothing else. Like treating her to dinner or watching a movie, perhaps." Evan York caught on immediately and said, "Of course I want to treat you to dinner. But it wasn't time to get off work yet, and I know how busy you are, so I didn't dare disturb you. I just waited here. Abby, are you done for the day? If you're free, let's go to the hotel now. By the time we order, it'll be just about dinner time. And if it's a little early, well, there's nothing wrong with that either. It wouldn't hurt to have dinner a bit earlier." Abidu smiled and said, "Wait here for me. I'll head back to the office and get my car." With that, she turned around and walked back inside, carrying the bouquet and the red gift bag holding the jewelry set. Evan York was briefly stunned, then replied cheerfully, "Okay, I'll wait right here." She didn't reject him. In the past, if he asked her to dinner 10 times, she'd only agree 2 or 3. Most of the time, she declined. She would say she was busy, had client dinners scheduled, and couldn't make time for him. Once, he even followed her shamelessly to the Hyribity Hotel, only to find she really was entertaining clients. Being a businessman himself, he understood the demands and compromises involved in doing business. He empathized with her and felt a deep sense of pity. He vowed that once he successfully won her over, he would love her, cherish her, and spoil her for the rest of her life, never letting her work so hard or suffer so much again. She had so many cousins. There was no reason she should carry all the burdens alone. She wasn't even the Du family's heir. After Abby Du returned to the company, Evan York remained waiting outside. Just 2 minutes later, a black Mercedes pulled up beside him. He instinctively turned to look and saw Spencer lower the window. With a half smile, he said, "Still waiting outside, fourth young Master York? Has Abby kicked you out again? Want a ride? I can take you in. I can come and go freely at the Du Group," Evan York replied coolly. After all, he was Mrs. Du's godson and Abby's brother.